Good evening, everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good evening, Ricky.
I'm not doing any better. I'd have to hug myself.
Cool.
Do we got a Paulie and a Charlie in?
Hello.
There's a Charlie.
Oh, Brother Charles.
Hello there, Brother Davey.
And hello.
I must have
Charlie, you're giving us a little echo, by the way, when you open up your mic. At least somebody is. I was hearing Charlie twice. Just in case I missed you the first time, I suppose.
That was probably Paul. We can blame Paul.
Paul, are you using a headset or are you just on a microphone with the speakers again?
I'm with a headset.
You are with a headset. How about you, Charlie?
Headset.
How about you, Steve?
I'm on a headset.
And Ricky?
I'm on a headset.
Well, all God's children are on a headset. What's going on? Hallelujah.
Somebody's headset speakers are really loud then. It's probably still Paul.
I won't blame it on him. I mean, he usually agrees.
Of course.
Well, Paul, keep your microphone there ready, your unmute button ready, because I thought tonight what we would do, since we just are on the heels of a week-long revival, is we would open it up and get a sense of what you guys got out of the meetings and you know, see what that means going forward for us all.
So, well, we had a week-long, you know, this last week, but we had a week before that, too.
We did. We have had two of them, and just with one Tuesday night, I think, in between or something like that. So it's been kind of busy that way. But so we've had a couple of them here. And the last Tuesday, I think we did that thing on commitment, is where we were kind of addressing as kind of an interim between the two revivals. And thought I'd open it up and open it up for some discussion from you guys as to what you got out of the meetings and what you see in the Lord for us going forward as a consequence. So I thought I'd start with Paulie, since he's always the one who's like way behind on getting the unmute checked.
I'm right here.
Praise God, Paulie. What's up?
I was setting up the room for another listener. So
not it's supposed to have dead airspace.
We have a it's just time to get serious and about being true to spread the gospel and put ourselves putting our flesh, mortifying our flesh.
All right, Paul, we're seeming to lose you for some reason or other. I'm not sure what that's all about.
We didn't lose Paul.
Hopefully you can get your little technical issue worked out. Unless
yeah, we didn't lose Paul. You still there, Paul?
I thought it was me.
I'm right here.
Yeah, it was you, Dad. I think we lost Steve, though. Charlie, are you with us?
I am here. We did lose Steve. He just kind of froze on us.
Yep. All right. Paul, why don't you go ahead and keep going where you were going, buddy?
The compulsion upon those who name the name of Christ is to be serious about his business and not our business, and the opportunity to love people is going to present itself, and we're going to know, as 1 John says, we'll know whether we're telling the truth or whether we're lying. And that's really the substance. I mean, it gets decorated in different ways, but that's really the substance of it.
Well, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me is we look at our articles of faith in this ministry. And actually, before you even hit the articles of faith, we have kind of like a scripture reference from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And I know one of the fundamental things we saw there, and we went through like in Joshua and the like, is that oneness, being one first with Christ Jesus and His Father by believing on the word of the test, the word that those whom He has established in authority speak.
And then, well, one thing you can really look at is that you don't find that in the churches today.
Not at all. And that requires great humility to stand in that place. You can't have any pride.
When I say in the churches today, I'm not just talking about all the different denominations. I'm saying you go to any one church out there and try to find a church where people all speak the same thing.
Amen. That's a good point.
And I hate to say it, but that includes our ministry as well. But I believe that's going to change.
Amen. Well, one of the things I think is coming from that perspective, Dave, is just the idea that for those who it doesn't change with, then they're not going to be a part of this ministry. Because
that's
the
right.
Lord...
They go join another one. There's plenty of them out there.
That's right.
See, the funny thing is, and people, you're listening here, we're not out to recruit members to our club. That's not what we're about. And we don't have a monthly report or a weekly report card showing how many people attend it and, you know, all this kind of stuff. We don't do that. We're interested in finding people that are actually serious about serving the Lord Jesus Christ and walking the way He walked in the love and power of God, doing the things He did. That's what we're looking for. And people that want to take the scriptures serious and do them. And, you know, it's all right with me. I mean, who am I? It's okay with me if you don't want to do it. That's fine. It's okay with me if you don't want to believe it. That's fine, too. That's between you and God. But I know as far as me and my household, we're going to do it. And that's all there is to it.
Amen. You know, it's interesting. I had a little experience with my son Samuel this morning. He's in swimming lessons right now. And he, after he'd finished eating breakfast, he was describing a pain he had in his belly. And I found out basically what was causing it just a little bit later, which was he was tied up in knots because he was afraid in returning to swimming lessons that they were going to make him jump off the diving board without having a life preserver on, and he was scared and didn't think he could do that. And so I took that fear immediately away from him, but it was only effectual on him if he believed me, his father, that I would do what I said I would do. And,
well, amen.
And what was interesting is for the next few minutes, he actually was still in that distress. And I told him, I said, "Look, Sam, then be where you are. I mean, if you're not going to believe that which I said, then what can I say? You're going to be tied up in knots." And a couple minutes later, he repented of that, chose to believe, and he actually went out and ended up jumping off the diving board today and was so excited when he came back. But it was an interesting, to me, testimony, because that's how we are with the Lord, is that He, if we'll be in fear about something or all tied up in knots about a particular thing, and He says, "Look, just trust me. Look, this, just believe what I said." And we'll refuse to believe, but want to be freed from the knots we're tied up in. And you can't have one without the other.
Well, you know, one of the things that we discussed that was a key point on last week's revival, plus the one the week before, 2 weeks before,
yep,
is the line of authority, number one, and obedience. And, you know, if you look at the scriptures, everywhere you see in the scriptures, it talks about the Lord God of hosts or the Lord's hosts, it's armies, putting on the armor of God. Hey, a bride doesn't put on the armor of God, a man does, and he's usually a soldier. I go on and on and on and on and take up a whole hour just giving examples of where the church is to be an army on this planet, preparing to be an army in heaven. I mean, you go just look over there in John chapter 1, where it says, as many as believed on him gave he them power to become the sons of God. The sons of God is the term he uses for his angels. Jesus is restoring his body of angels, his army of angels that were taken when Lucifer rebelled. Went off with Lucifer. And this army is going to come back at the Battle of Armageddon and fight with Christ to destroy the Antichrist. Now, if you can't follow orders, hello. If you can't follow the line of authority in that army, how long do you think you're going to last in heaven where there's no grace? Okay. And yet, it is amazing to me. Here it is, what, Tuesday? The revival has been over since Saturday? And I've already seen examples where people that were in every single meeting, totally forgot everything they heard. Totally forgot. Because they'd be told to do a thing and, oh, well, I have another idea. I'd rather do it this way. I'd rather do it that way. Totally forget. So, I mean, you know, we got to learn to get it right. And the church has got to get it right. And how can we expect others to get it right if we ourselves can't get it right?
You know, one of the things that strikes me as you're speaking there, Davey, is that, see, the problem, folks, is you don't want to do as you're told, but you still want all the benefit of being a believer. And that's
kind of like King Saul, huh?
Yep.
Well, I did everything the Lord commanded me. Oh, really? Why do I hear them sheep bleating over there?
Well, it was the people you gave me. They're doing that. And, I mean, I share it with you from that perspective, folks, because you want the good things of God. It says, he that will be faithful in little, be faithful in much. If you can't be faithful in little, don't ever, ever, ever expect the true riches to be entrusted unto you. It's what the scripture says. And if you think God's going to change his word to accommodate you, you can forget it. Ain't ever going to happen.
Well, and it's interesting, Steve. Look at how many times Paul, in his letters, talk about giving certain things to faithful believers.
Sure.
Faithful. And what is a faithful believer? One who does what he's told.
That's right. And what's interesting in that, one of the things you find in the scripture, and it's one of these little, it's not really that subtle of a point. You see it quite a bit with women in the scripture, which is interesting. As you look at people like Abigail, for example, whose husband Nabal had disrespected David after David had cared for his men and the like and protected them. And David was going to go kill him. And Abigail came out and she referred to herself as David's handmaid. And you see in many other examples, when Naaman the Syrian was delivered of his leprosy, he came back and referred to Elisha as his Lord. And you can go through over and over and over again. And what those references are is people who came to acknowledge and submit themselves wholly under the line of authority that God had established.
And how do you know if God has established somebody as a minister? Oh, they got a piece of paper. Some cemetery gave them a piece of paper, dressed them up, got them all ready to go in the box, and said, well, you know, you can go and talk behind this pulpit until you go in the box. Sounds good to me. And there'll be some people out there saying, what in the world is he talking about? Maybe you can explain it, Steve.
Sure. Well, you know, a good scriptural example is the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling body of ministers of the Jews who tried and found Christ wanting and guilty of blasphemy and put him to death. Okay? The way they got their authority is from one another, not from the Lord. Christ came and John the Baptist came, and each of them came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. They had the credentials that came from God that those people could not withstand. And yet they didn't have the worldly papers or accolades, speaking of John the Baptist or Jesus. They just had that which God had provided to them. And those who were looking to the Lord received them with gladness. Those who were looking to the world and to be pleasing in the world rejected them, or were, even when they knew they were true, were afraid to stand with them.
Yeah, but you got to admit, Steve, those Pharisees sure dressed nice.
They dressed nice. They had fine educations. They had plenty of money. They had families that were this. They did everything by the book.
Reminds me of preachers today. They got degrees coming out the yin-yang and have no clue what the Word of God says.
And they certainly don't walk in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, which what the Scripture promises is to every single person who will believe. Anybody who will believe. If they will but believe God and go forward in that, then they will walk as He walked. And if you're not doing that, then you lie to yourself, if you deceive yourself, if you think you're abiding in the vine and are not in danger of being cut off and cast into the furnace. So it really comes down to the only thing that matters, not being a part of the fisherman ministry, not being this, that, or the other thing, but whether or not the approval of God and His credentials are on you. When we ordain and license and other people in this ministry, it's because what we've seen is the approval of God and His grace on them. That's what we do. We don't care if you've been here 6 months, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It does not matter. What matters is whether or not you've stepped out into that place where the approval of God is manifest on you. And then that call goes out, and it's up to you whether you walk in it or not. It's not an end.
We'll know sooner or later.
That's right.
But, you know, I've experienced many things in the Lord. God has blessed me greatly. And, Steve, you have also. The power of God in your life, and I've seen the power of God in my life, and continue to look to see it, and we'll continue to look forward to seeing it. But the bottom line is, that's supposed to be normal. And that's available to anyone out there, if you but just do what God says. You know, if you will listen to the Word, and do it, and believe it. You don't listen to what the old man says. You don't listen to the flesh. You listen to the Word of God and you obey that. You will see the power of God following along behind you.
And that's when people come to know the Lord. Because then what happens is the Word that we have preached, where we've said you can walk in these things, you won't be telling other people, hey, you can walk in this. You'll be walking at it. So that when you're telling them, you'll be able to tell them with authority because you have the experience of walking in it. And that's what moves people, is that power. I remember the day I accepted the Lord, and Davey, you'll remember this one testimony of mine, and that was I had a few weeks before, for reasons unrelated to trying to become a Christian, I'd actually read the Gospel according to Mark. And when I met Richard, and Richard ministered unto me and had the testimony of many witnesses who had experienced the power of God in their own lives at his hand, I was reminded in the midst of his ministering to me of what they said about Jesus, which he didn't speak as the scribes and Pharisees, but he spoke as one having authority. And that was the testimony that the Lord gave Richard to to me that caused me to know that the Word of God was true.
Steve, weren't you going to hear some radical priest talk on the Gospel of Mark?
That's exactly what it was. They were going to talk about the healing stories in the Gospel of Mark, and they had a ministry to AIDS victims in New York City. And they never mentioned a word out of the Gospel according to Mark, and nobody ever got healed. So I remember being very frustrated because I'd read the Gospel according to Mark, not in the King James, mind you, just in the Bible I had around. And clearly, that which they spoke of was nothing like what was written in the book of in the Gospel according to Mark. And so I was very disappointed, as I had generally been, as I had always been, I should say, with everything that in the world seemed to hold out some promise as being good and an answer to my questions. But thankfully, never found it there, and only found it in the Lord. But that whole thing of walking in authority, speaking as one having authority, is critical. You read it in all the letters. You read it in everything written by the people who wrote the Bible. They were writing God's word, not their word.
And that's by the way, authority. Since we're doing this kind of a meeting tonight, those of you that are in the chat room, if you've got a comment or a question, throw it in the chat. We'll discuss it.
Now, Ricky and Charlie want to open it up there. Neither of you have commented yet on what you kind of have got out of the meetings or the things we're talking about. So, Charlie, what do you have to share?
Well, I know the thing that there's a couple things that really stuck out to me. And, you know, the first part is that which is the Northfield part of the Northfield message was, you know, the train is slowing. You know, and now is the time to get on. And it's one of those things that everything that I see going on, you really see the end of times starting to happen. You see things starting to come together. And you have to humble yourself and be willing to get on that train. And then that the only way that you're going to be able to stay on that train is to submit yourself to the line of authority, and you don't want to be in a position where you're removed from that train, because that may be the last train you have the opportunity to get on.
Well, it is the last train, and by the way, it may have been slowing 3 or 4 weeks ago, but it ain't slowing down now.
Yeah, and I know where it comes back on me is, you know, it talks about resisting, you know, the line of authority to your own damnation type of thing. And I know that that's not something that I want. And I know it's something that I have struggled with for many years. But now is the time to quit that. I mean, there's no more games at this point. If you're on the train, you certainly don't want to be taken off.
Well, the important thing about the line of authority, which I was talking about earlier, never got to my point really, is that if we're in this army, there's no line of communication, there's no way to win.
Yes.
So God is not going to keep people in his army so he can lose. He's going to win.
I mean, and it all goes back to, you know, Lucifer and his rebellion against God. I mean, God cannot have an orderly kingdom if people rebel in it. And he's not going to allow that to ever happen. And, you know, you talked about other churches, and I know one of the biggest lies and misconceptions that is out there in the churches is that, you know, when we die as a Christian, instant change, oh presto, you know, we're in eternity for in heaven for eternity, and there, you know, we're not going to sin. And I know when you brought that up to me, I believe it's in Hebrews that
thing, Charles, about Hebrews 6 deals with the fact that once you're in heaven, once you're there, and you've experienced everything in heaven, if you sin there, you're toast. You can't take Christ off his throne and re-crucify him. That crucifixion only works while we're here on this planet. Once we're in heaven, there's no more grace.
And I know where it comes back to is being a servant. I mean, if we can't learn to serve here, who says that we're going to learn to serve in heaven? And, you know, we have grace here, and you know, it's something to be taken serious on there.
It's the same thing with obedience.
Am I back? I'm back.
You are back.
You're back, Dad.
But I know that, I mean, it's like Paul said, it's that obedience, you know, it's, you know, submit, which is the submission to the line of authority. And it's better do it now than it is there, because you don't get a second chance in heaven.
Well, if you don't submit to the line of authority, what you're saying is you don't believe God.
Yeah.
And if it's, and if you have to believe on the Lord, I mean, face it, first, let's just say one thing real quick. If, as the word says, baptism of the Holy Spirit is imparted by the laying on of the hands of the apostles, then if you reject the apostles, then you cannot have access to the inheritance of God.
Well, you know, the thing that really came up to me today, it was something that popped into my mind, and, you know, hopefully I can relay it properly. You know, is if you don't believe in God's line of authority in everything in this fisherman ministry, then why are you even here? You know, if you don't believe it, why are you here? And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who struggle with that. I mean, it's either true or not.
Well, you know, part of that, Charlie, is people are so afraid of what other people think. If you belong to a group that believes as narrowly as we do, well, it's got to be a cult. You know?
Yeah.
That's basically what they said of the disciples after Jesus' resurrection. They said they were a cult and went after them with vengeance.
Well, you know, when I first came to Vermont 20 years ago, that was one of the first things that people told me about the ministry here. But, you know, I know the one thing that always struck me, and even though I have struggled with it over the years, is that, you know, the word preached here was preached with authority, and the Lord showed me that clearly the very first time. And I know that's one of the reasons that's always kept me here, that, I mean, I know it's true. It's a matter of getting over this ugly pride and submitting myself in order to go forward and be shedding of this stuff.
Well, let me throw something out in that vein real quick, Charlie. Because remember when we were talking in Joshua?
Yep.
And it talked about, if you look at when the people said they would obey Joshua, what did they say? We'll obey you, Joshua, when you're speaking that which Moses wrote down. Mm-hmm. Or did they say they would obey him in whatsoever he commanded them, and he would go whithersoever he commanded them? And if anybody didn't, they would put him to death. Isn't that what they said?
Yes.
And I say that because, see, what happens is people make all these distinctions. See, in this ministry, most people think, well, I obey authority. Well, I can tell you that hasn't been the case. I mean, don't hear me wrong. I mean, as a general principle in this ministry, obedience to authority has been a huge problem. Okay, and people's degrees of obedience or disobedience to authority has varied, sometimes, you know, as during different periods of their walk, and sometimes, you know, on a particular day. But the fact of the matter is the way people justify themselves is they say, oh, well, you know, that was just Davy the man speaking to me. He wasn't speaking to me about something, you know, in the Lord. Anything he says in the Lord, if he's up there preaching a revival, I listen. But then when they come and ask questions about other things, they reject. And the fact of the matter is, that is not obedience.
What they're looking for, Steve, is if I said, thus saith the Lord, you know, before I spoke, then they might, then they'd say, oh, that's got to be of the Lord because he said, thus saith the Lord. Therefore, we'll do it. If it doesn't work out, who we own the Lord? Adam, David. But the truth of the matter is, that's not the way it works.
Well, a good example of that is the rich young
ruler. And I'm not going to go around doing that.
Right. And a good example of Jesus is the rich young ruler. He said, Jesus didn't tell me he had to go sell all he had. He said, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell all that thou hast, give it unto the poor, and come follow me. And he went away sorrowful because, why? He had many possessions and the like, and he didn't want to lose them. Right? Jesus didn't command him that he had to do that. He told him, if you want to be perfect, go do this.
Hey, you Steve. Know?
Yep.
You know, there's a lot that comes to mind as you guys are talking about this, but the one big and important thing you mentioned in the last week that we just had was, how long are you guys going to stand between, you know, and serve two masters? Either God is God or Baal is God. And we're going to figure out today who it is, and then that's the end of it. And Paul and Charlie were talking a little, you know, talking about getting serious and the train, etc. But really, that's where we all are in our own heart. You know, not too long ago, a year or so, whenever it was, you wrote a bunch of stuff on the Vision of Two Revivals. And, you know, revisiting that is something I'm going to personally do, because you're talking about a bunch of people that are in the valley and they need to pick which direction they're going. And, you know, it's easy sort of to be part of this ministry and be here for a while and think, oh, I'm on the narrow path, heading the right way, when ultimately, you know, the reality of it is, no, we're still down in the valley and hadn't made up our mind yet. And we're really, I mean, that's sort of the discussion you're talking about, as I see it. That really stuck out to me. And the other part was the fact that if you make that choice, just make it and go. Don't worry about if anybody, you're not going to, I mean, don't wait for somebody to pat you on the back and recognize what a wonderful decision you just made. Just go do it. And the Lord will take care of the rest of it.
Amen. Well, you're hitting on that point that it came up with Elijah, and where he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? And that's basically, you know, the situation. If you were to look at folks in this ministry, leave aside everybody from outside of this ministry for a moment, it's plainly evident that there are certain people who you can see how there's been a separation that has been visible. Between certain people who they speak the word with authority and the power of God is backing them up. And it's evident. And then you have people who are closer to that but are still struggling. And then you have people who are back there sitting back just watching. And the only thing that keeps them around at all is if they continuously see things that are pleasing to them in the sense of making them feel important as being part of some group that's all right and everything. And the fact of the matter is that I don't read in the scripture where it says that if you don't walk as Christ walked, that's okay, you're going to make it anyway. The only ones I see where it says there is therefore now no condemnation is to those who believe on. Those who believe on abide in the vine. Those who abide in the vine produce fruit. And they're manifest because they walk as Christ walked. And
those that produce fruit only do it because they walk in the Spirit or after the Spirit.
Amen. And so that's the thing, folks, is that if you don't walk after the Spirit, I don't care if you've been with us for 3 weeks or 30 years. It doesn't matter. That's not going to save you.
Hey, guess what, Steve?
So,
do you think we ought to let the people in a little secret about the fisherman ministry?
Sure.
The fisherman ministry cannot save you. Don't tell them. Don't. Yeah. Let's not say that too loud. The fisherman ministry cannot save you. Jesus can save you, but only if you obey his word. And all the fisherman ministry is a group of people trying to do just that.
Amen. So the two opinions, folks, in that valley of decision, as Rick was describing it from the vision, which is available on the website for those who have not read it before, is where so many are, and you have to make the choice. And if you read that vision, one of the things you see is that each stage where the choices were made, the great majority of people, when confronted with that choice, chose the wrong way. It was just a trickle that chose the right way.
You know, you were talking a little bit earlier about people that just want somebody to give them, you know, tell them what to do, so to speak.
Yep.
You know, the Lord tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. People don't want to do that work. And the wrong path, the path up the wide road, is the path that gives you all the checklists of exactly how your flesh is to be, so you can measure your righteousness and holiness, etc. The other path is pure faith. It is the only measure you have is, well, the testimony of God in your life and the testimony of you can rely on the direction of your authority, but it's all faith. It has nothing. You can't look at yourself and get a measure on it. It's just faith in God.
You know, one thing that struck me about, you know, when we look at the two paths is, you know, one's in a wide, flat area. And when the road to salvation is that narrow path going up the hill. And anytime you climb up a hill, I don't know about everybody, but for me, anytime I start climbing up a hill, you know, it takes a lot of effort. There's a lot of struggle in it. And it's not something that's easy for me, especially the fatter I get. But, you know, it's one of those things that path is a struggle, because that struggle is to put off the old man and believe God that there is salvation in at the top of that hill, or, you know, up that path, and to leave that man.
The whole point of that path too, Charlie, it's a single file line. I mean,
yeah.
There's no great group you can get lost in. There's just you and the Lord. There is you and the development of your faith in the process. And the thing that comes to mind as a guy who's been around this and heard basically the same message from the day I arrived in Vermont in 1989, I don't know that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dad, but I don't know that this message has ever changed.
Well, no, my message has been the same since 1974.
So, I mean, I went back and listened not too long ago to the Shields of Gold and Shield of Brass, and you might as well have just put that in the tape deck yesterday.
Yeah, or same thing, you know, what I preached in 72. I had to recant on that. It's actually been since 1972. I haven't changed my message one bit.
And, you know, through all of that, you remember the lie in the garden that Satan used? Was, surely God doesn't mean that.
Sure.
I mean, that's his MO, and he's using, you know, he's using that same MO with great effect with people today.
Causing doubt on the Word of God.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, you're right about what you were talking about, and I love 1 John because of the absoluteness of it. I mean, not that there's any wiggle room anywhere in the Word of God, but man, it's plain spoken.
Simple.
I mean, it's just right there. I mean, you just...
What's good about it, Rip, what I think is neat about it is, now that you have grown to the point where you realize John isn't talking about perfecting your flesh.
Right.
No. And when you used to read that, you were talking at it from, you were trying to teach it from the angle of perfecting the flesh. Now you're understanding that it's perfecting the new man, not the old man.
Sure.
Well, and that's what then provokes us to fear. Because when we look at it, we see how far short. And when you look at Jesus as the standard that you compare yourself to, then you're going to find yourself falling short. And face it, even if you just look at any of the men or women in the scripture who are held up as examples. You're going to basically see yourself falling short, and yet you know that they were but men or women just like you and me, just like the rest of us. And so we're without excuse if our life does not look like them. And it's interesting to me, Rick, you brought up the idea of, you know, the people who want you to bring out a list. Here, just do this and you'll be okay. And I'd love to just, you know, for people who have never read the prophets.
Hey, wait, Steve. Isn't that what Moses did?
Yeah.
And it didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't.
No, so even if you make up a list, they're not going to follow it.
Sure. But what's amazing to me is if you just read the prophets, don't even, or read the book of Judges, and like, you just read things like that for a moment, and you look at what those guys did. I mean, one guy has to, you know, lie on one side for like 365 days and then 40 days on the other side, cook over dung. Another guy has to marry a prostitute. Another guy, his wife is a prophetess. Another guy, you know, is forbidden to marry. Another guy, you know, you just go through and you hit the different things. I mean, Samson, I mean, look at Samson and his life and the like and the way the Lord was with him. You just look at these things. I mean, you tell me, after the natural, what formula those guys followed, because they all look unbelievably different and contradictory one to another if you're trying to follow their flesh.
I got another one for you, Steve. You'd show me one of those guys that would be accepted in any church out there today.
Sure. And that's, you know, that's the fact of the matter, folks. So you can't judge it by what you see in the flesh. And that's what almost all church is about, and that's what almost all credentials that ministers consider important are about. You know, you have to act the part, you have to look the part of being a minister. I just remember Jesus exhorting the disciples. Now look, when you're here with me, don't worry about it. It's just our little gang. You can let your hair down. You can sit here. You don't have to eat with washing hands. You don't have to do all this other stuff. But let me tell you guys, when you go out there, you better not do those things, because these people, they're not going to like you. And that's going to really upset me.
I don't think he said that, Steve.
I don't think he said that either.
Because they did eat without washing hands, and they didn't like them.
And that's the whole point. I mean, the whole lie that is taught to ministers about what you're supposed to be is just that, a lie. It's all based on man's understanding and trying to please men rather than God. And if that's where you're at, you can't, as the scripture says, you can't be the friend of the world and the friend of God.
Well, let me ask you a question, Stephen. I'm going to ask this question to everybody out there, especially those in the chat. What is easier? What is easier, to get the approval of God or the approval of man?
Well, it's certainly simpler to get the approval of God.
It's easy to get man approval. All you got to do is put on an act.
But to
get a good hairdresser, if you got a hair like mine, you need a haircut and a wig. Little plastic surgery wouldn't help hurt either. And a good suit.
Yeah, it looks like we're having continuing internet issues today, guys. So I'll let things get straightened out. Dad, I believe you're back with us. You were just talking about you need a good hairpiece and a wig and a good suit.
I'm sorry, I'm back. I don't know when I got knocked off there, guys. But
oh, Dad was talking about how to please stupid internet.
Yeah.
Dad was talking about how to please man with. I'm sorry, I flashed a dragon. They're so stupid. There are some people that will get
that
real
reference. All right, what part did you guys? What part did I drop off?
You were going on about needing to get a wig and a haircut and a new suit, etc. So,
all right, you can do that.
But, you know, and I've known a lot of preachers that have done that. But I'd rather be able to walk in a hospital room, watch people healed, or cast devils out, and watch the lame walk, the dumb speak, the deaf hear, and the blind see. And that happens when you have God's approval. And you can only have God's approval by doing what he says.
Amen. And that's the bottom line, folks, because if you don't do what he says, then the truth is you don't love him. So you haven't fulfilled even the first commandment. Because he says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So if you can't do that, then why do you think he would give you any good thing? I don't see anywhere where he makes a habit of giving all his best stuff to those who are rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, won't believe him, won't do what he says. I see the opposite, where he tells them to meditate. Go ahead.
One of the most perfect examples, and it reminded me of, you reminded me of it, of Jesus obeying the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the pool of Bethesda, was it?
I think it was, or Siloam or something like that, Bethesda.
The angel would come down and dip his finger in the water, and the first one in got healed.
Yep.
Jesus came to that pool and all these people there, and he went to just one man. Out of all those people, he went to one man. Well, they'll be made whole. The man said, how can I? For when the waters are stirred, somebody gets in before me. There's no one to help me. And Jesus healed that one man. Doesn't say he healed anyone else there.
Amen.
But most of us, because of pride, we'd run around and try to heal everybody at the pool. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I thought of that one many times.
I remember the New Tribes Mission when they opened up their headquarters down in Sanford, Florida. I was talking to the president of New Tribes because I was very familiar with their people. They'd come out to my church in Oviedo and tried to spout a bunch of their crap. And he said, I know you. I know what you. You believe in healing. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, if you can heal, say, go over there to that hospital and heal everybody there. And I said, I'll do that if you can answer me a question. He kind of looked funny. And I said, yeah, I'll do that if you can answer me a question. And he said, what's that? And I said, why didn't Jesus heal more than just the one man at the pool of Bethesda? And he said, well, I can't answer that. And I said, then I won't try to help you out with this problem at all. You can answer it, but you know the answer. But your pride won't let you see it. I said, have a nice day.
Well, and that's the thing about obedience is it requires humility. It's impossible to walk in true obedience in accordance with the Word of God and walk in pride at the same time. And so it's one of those things, it'll humble you. It will humble you. And what you find in the ministry, just speaking of those of us who are listening on here and who are participating in the chat, is this. If I say to somebody who's here in the fellowship in Vermont, and I say to them, look, go and do this, and that's something that they're pleased to do, they'll go do it. But if they're not pleased to do it, well, then they'll get all bound up with 16,000 different reasons why it's not such a great idea. And the only time you ever learn obedience is when you're doing that which you don't want to do and, frankly, don't agree with. It's not a sacrifice until that. It doesn't require anything of you until that comes up. And so if you can't learn to do that,
then I can tell you, I mean, God's ways are not your ways. So it's going to be pretty unlikely you're going to do much that's in obedience to Him, unless you're willing to operate contrary to your own nature. So you're just going to have to get used to that if you're going to serve Him and you're going to walk by faith. Am I still up, guys, or did I get...
No, you're still here. We're right. Just all muted. All
right. Okay, well, praise God.
We were just being quiet to make you paranoid.
Yeah, I appreciate it, because I've been knocked off a couple times today, so I was like, oh, well,
must have dropped
off somewhere
Steve?
In the middle.
was it working?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Mm.
You guys could applaud yourselves.
It was bad,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
But, I mean, to me, two things on that front, folks. Number one, the obedience part there, as far as learning to do that which you are told, even when it seems contrary to you. But the other part that I can tell you, and this is really where you separate, this is where submission comes into play in that, is that when you get to the place where that which the Lord would have you do, whether it's because you're reading it in His Word or because His line of authority has spoken to you on a thing, and what you do is you choose to make it your own. So if anything happens, all right, that doesn't come to pass the way you were expecting it, you accept 100% responsibility for that and don't go around blaming others. And I say that to you because that's really when you're going to be walking in true humility and in submission. That's the attitude you're going to have, because once you've adopted it as your own, then the fact that somebody else suggested it to you, well, you chose to agree with them and to go and do it. So who did it? You did. And when you can operate from that place, now the Lord's free to really move with you and to also correct you when you get wrong, because you're not looking at blaming somebody else, including Him.
That's right. And, you know, there's another thing about, you know, they wrote in the chat, and we've been talking around it and on it and through it, Hebrews 13:17.
Sure.
There's the obey and the submit part. And, you know, I've had people say to me, why don't you just tell me what to do? Because anybody can obey when you say do it or I'll kill you. Or, you know, you threaten them or something like that. You have to do this or that. But, you see, if you say to somebody, would you mind doing so-and-so? I would like you to do this. When you do it that way, if they do it, then they're practicing submission. If they don't do it, it means they haven't got that submission down yet. They'll say, I'll do what you say if you tell me to do it. But that's obeying, but it's not submitting. So like Tristan has learned, Tristan, take the trash out. Okay, he takes the trash out. That's obeying. But if I say, Tristan, you mind turning the air conditioner on in my camper? When he does that, he's doing both. He's not just obeying, he is submitting, and he's learning through this. He's beginning to get the benefits of that. It's starting to work in him a joy and a peace that he has never had before. And he's online. He can tell you whether I'm telling the truth or not. I think he's online.
Looks like he's online.
He's typed in a couple of messages, so yeah, he's there.
Well, you know, it's one of the companions to Hebrews 13:17 you're talking about there, Davey, is Hebrews 13:7, which defines who it is that has the rule over you. And it says, those
who have spoken unto you the word of God. And see, you know, that's one of the things that comes up. I mean, if, you know, one of the things that comes up, like when you're preaching a revival, and we had a guy there who was out at the revival in Groton who was there in judgment. Okay, he ended up departing after the, on the third night that he was there. Ah, there you go. Praise God, Tristan. I see you wrote in there. And the interesting part of it is this, is that, look, I mean, if you know the word better than the one ministering the word, then why aren't you ministering the word? I mean, if you can't find somebody who knows the word better than you, then I guess that means that you're the one who's supposed to be out there ministering, because there ain't anybody else who seems able to do
it. All right, we lose Steve or me.
No, we're all still here, Dad. You must have just dropped off for a second. Steve was talking.
He's gone again.
Davey's gone again? Yeah, he is gone again. I don't know what's happening. He's coming in and out there.
You got about 3 minutes, Steve.
Yeah. But I just say that to you folks. I mean, the thing that people love to do is to be the armchair minister. You know, they'll never stand up there and do anything themselves, but they'll sure judge the one who's doing it. And, you know, that's why back here earlier, I mean, as Davey said, I mean, this ministry is not about, you know, trying to recruit a bunch of people into our club and the like, and we don't give account for such things. We're looking for those folks who want to walk in obedience to the Word of God and go forward in Christ's love and His power. That's who we're looking for. And if you're interested in that, stick around. If you think we're full of it and that this isn't the place to do that, then don't spend 30 seconds more here. Just go. Life's too short to waste your time on people who you don't think are speaking the truth. So, I mean, that's pretty much where it's at, folks. And the scripture, you look over in Joshua, they went for it as one unit. They marched around Jericho as one unit. They went in and took the promised land as one unit. And they were a mighty, powerful unit. Christ, whether it be two, whether it be three, whether it be 16, whether it be 16,000, it doesn't matter, is putting together a unit. And if you want to be a part of it, and you've heard this word, then humble yourself and determine to be a part of it, setting your face like flint to serve Him. Otherwise, you're not going to get it done. It's just not going to happen. So I'm going to close out there, guys. Let you say your last words, and Rick, you can start the music when it's time.
Yeah, you guys go ahead and talk, because I didn't get to hear most of that, so you guys can comment on Charlie and Paul.
The learning to distinguish between submission and just being obedient was a tough one for me. It's still tough. I'd much rather be told what to do than to actually have to agree that what I was told was the thing to do and do it because it's the right thing, and I know it.
I agree with you on that, Paul.
I have to admit, I learned it under H. Richard Hall. That's one good thing that he really did teach me.
Steve, if you go back to, and we're going to run over tonight, but if you go back to what you started with regards to Sammy, you know, we can ask the Lord for all manner of things, but unless we actually believe it, it's not going to, you know, we might as well not ask, because we're just going to sit there and stew in our own fear or whatever it is. And we ask the Lord for all kinds of things, whether it's wisdom or understanding or guidance, etc. And, you know, He has built in this line of authority, and they give us all of the answers to the questions. But it only is going to do us any good if we just receive it as of the Lord. And as long as we continue to filter it through our own intellect and our own understanding, we're going to keep missing it. And
you know what, Rick? In what you're saying, I agree, and 100%, and you I probably interrupted you before you were finished. But you know what? I've gotten to the point now where if people don't want to do it and they don't want to walk in it, why do you want to waste my time? What are you even doing here? You know, go somewhere else.
Well, that's absolutely the point. I remember having a conversation with a gentleman years and years and years and years ago, and he was explaining to me how we were running the fellowship there in Cottageville was incorrect, and I simply told him, "Well, then you go do it your way, and I'll continue to do it the way the Lord's given me to do it. We'll see how that pans out." You know, if you don't like it, that you know, there's nothing here compelling you to stay. So we all need to make that choice. How long are we going to be halt between two directions? Pick one. Pick a side and go with it.
Amen. I mean, I've been in many places, and the places I saw were just done wrong. And I went to the pastor, and I gave what I believed, and the pastor rejected it. I said, okay. And I left. I didn't try to change any of his people. I didn't try to make a fuss or anything like that. I just left. Because the scripture says, go and seek out who's worthy. If they receive you, then they receive me. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. But the bottom line is, I don't go out. The idea isn't to go out and try to destroy another man's work. If you agree with that man and work for the man, praise God. If not, just leave. God will take care of it and figure out whether he's doing it right or wrong. It's between him and God. And I think the two things I learned the most under H. Richard Hall is, one, the whole idea of obedience and submission, and two, was you preach the truth and let the cards fall where they fall.
You know, I had a direct object lesson in how that worked when you asked me to go with you up to Vermont. And I was dreadfully concerned about how I was representing the ministry and the Lord to John Lowe. And I didn't submit myself and just say, you know, I think I'm going to go do that. And I really didn't have any objection to doing that. But I chose what I chose to do. And, you know, I had to live with the consequences of that. So, I would have much rather have gone to Vermont with you.
I hear you.
I didn't lose anything in that wood shop, I'm telling you.
By the way, yeah. You lost your use of your hand.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, but where's John Lowe today? Did it do him any good for you to stay there?
It's still hot. Not to this point.
See, it would have done him better to see someone that stood in the faith and walked in it than to see someone that came dead to his will. And I'm not saying this to put you down or to anything like that, but so others can get it, can learn. I mean, God redeems our mistakes and our stupids. Yeah. And this is, you know, like you sharing that with others, God can redeem it so that maybe they can learn from it.
That was it.
All right, folks. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and start the music. We ran a little late today.
All right, there. Well, God bless you.
Go ahead
God
and
bless
say that
God
again.
Bless.
Yeah, go ahead and say that again, Dad. Go ahead and say bye to folks again there.
God bless everybody and have a great day and peace of the Lord be with you.
Amen.
God
Amen. Bless everyone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.